Ruth chapter 4, part 1, redemption. Ruth 4, verses 1 and 2. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. Boaz was certainly motivated to see this matter completed. The barley harvest had to be an extremely busy time for him, but he still put this matter of redemption as his top priority. Boaz was a very wealthy, important, and authoritative man of the city. He told the nearer kinsmen and 10 men of the city passing by to sit down, and they all immediately complied. They met at the gate of the city, which is where all the city fathers and those in authority came together to make important decisions. Ruth chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. The word redemption was used many times in the scriptures, often in the purchase of a slave. Frequently, a person became a slave because they could not pay their debts. Proverbs 22:7 informs us, The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. As we saw earlier, God laid out all the conditions in Leviticus 25, verses 25 through 27 for the law of redemption. The redeemer had to be next of kin, able to pay the price in its entirety, and be willing to do it. If a relative loved the slave enough and was able and willing to pay off their debt, they could go to the slave market, pay the price for that slave, and set him free. This is redemption, freedom by payment of a price. This process is similar to our modern-day pawn shops, where an object gets pawned for an amount of money and can be bought back for a price at a later date. This is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when he died upon the cross. We were enslaved with a death sentence under the debt of our sin. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus loved us enough to come to the earth, a type of slave market, as a near kinsman by virgin birth. Now as a kin to mankind and being the sinless Son of God, he was able to pay the price for every man's sins. He then willingly went to Calvary and paid the price with his own sinless blood for our debt of sin. It has been said many times that salvation is free to us, but it certainly was not free to our Lord. God's righteousness is imputed to us who believe. We are declared righteous freely by his grace. This is only because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price and set us free from sin, which held our death sentence. Salvation is truly a gift from God and has nothing to do with works. The work was done, not only when he died for our sins, but also when he was raised for our justification. Romans 4:25 tells us, Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The Greek word for redemption in the Levitical law is exagerazo, which means to buy out of the marketplace. For whatever reason, the slave once bought out of the marketplace could never be put up for sale again. He was free forever. Thanks be to God, we are free. The ransom has been paid for a full redemption to liberate and deliver from bondage throughout eternity. The devil can never make us slaves again. Verse 4 ended with the nearer kinsman immediately confirming he will redeem it until the condition came up in verse 5. Ruth chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. The near relative was all for redeeming Naomi and the parcel of land until the condition of marrying Ruth was included with the full redemption. He stated he would mar his own inheritance, therefore he would not do it. The scriptures are very clear about the restriction forbidding Israelites from marrying strange or foreign wives. Ezra 10, verse 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Solomon also angered the Lord with strange wives. 1 Kings 11, verses 7 through 9 tells us, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice. The nearer kinsman did not want to mar his inheritance by disobeying the Jewish law. It may have put his inheritance in jeopardy, as well as caused contention in his family by having a foreigner and her descendants share part of the inheritance. Thus he was qualified by law to redeem Naomi, but was now not willing to take the risk of marring his inheritance. So he passed the right of redemption to the next of kin, who was Boaz. Boaz loved Ruth, and Ruth loved Boaz. She had already pledged herself to him, and he was willing to redeem her at any cost. Boaz was now qualified to redeem Naomi and take Ruth for his bride, as he was now by law the nearest kinsman. Boaz was the son of Rahab, the Jericho Canaanite harlot of the second chapter of Joshua, Joshua 2:1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. Also in Matthew 1, verse 5, and Salmon begat Booz of Rachab, and Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Thus David's great-grandmother was Moabite, and his great-grandfather was half Canaanite. Boaz was more concerned with the redemption of Ruth, a foreigner, and making her his bride, than the risk of marring his inheritance. The relationship was the supernatural hand of God orchestrating every event as God was, through Boaz and Ruth, writing the shadow of the New Testament ushering in the Gentile bride. God's plan was to use outside blood to form his chosen family within his chosen nation. And as we learned earlier, to this day, a mile east of Bethlehem is the field of Boaz, where Ruth gleaned. Tradition says the adjoining field, called the Shepherd's Field, is where the angels announced the birth of Jesus. The place where Boaz and Ruth fell in love would be the same place angels would announce the birth of the Christ, who would be directly descended from their union. Today in Bethlehem, tradition says Jesus was born where the Church of the Nativity is now. This was part of the ancestral home of David, and before David, it was the place where Boaz took Ruth for his bride.